Hey, what's up? This is Just Plain Nonsense, a show where we talk about just plain nonsense.
That is correct. I am Mike.
And I'm Rob. Hey, so we have a very interesting topic today. But first of all, we are back for day two with Mr. Josh,
Jay Willie.
Mr. Jay Willie. He's here to help us.
How's it going?
He's here to help us talk about this topic. Now, a disclaimer before we get started. We're going to look at this purely objectively. And we want you, if you disagree or have questions or whatever, make sure you do your research. Because we're not trying to force our agenda on you or our opinions. This is just a discussion topic. And we're going to try to look at it as objectively as possible.
Yeah. And these are very heavy topics. And we're just going to hit them little bit of info on each one from what we've gathered from the internet. Like Rob stated, this is straight objectively just reading it and trying to get the thought out there and see what you guys think of it.
Right. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, this topic is conspiracy theories. So we're going to cover the top ones that we found that we thought would be pretty interesting. First one is FEMA camps. Josh, do you know anything about FEMA camps?
Is this the, was it? Jade Project or something like that?
Jade Helm is related Jade to it. Helm. It's tied into it. I guess we should take off with Jade Helm first. Operation Jade Helm is a military operation, allegedly, where they gather all civilians in certain times of mass casualty or turmoil. And so they've done Jade Helm, Operation Jade Helm is drills that they've done where they just practice gathering American civilians and locating them to other areas, which that can breed a lot of conspiracy just in that alone.
Now, these drills, they'd be used, you know, right now as like protection if, you know, somebody invades, right?
Right.
That's what they're saying.
That's one example, yes. Mm. That are under this unlikely instant that we have a zombie apocalypse or just anything in general that would just cause mass evacuation and removal.
And why are people so upset about this?
Because that scares people, because that's another instant where the government just takes control, you know, because they would have to engage martial law and pretty much suspend the U.S. Constitution. You know, a lot of our rights would be gone and they would have total control. Say people would be scared that that the government would activate this in times to try to gain control and force their agenda, whatever that may be.
Well, I mean, it also sounds a lot like what the Nazis did with the Jews.
Right, which is funny because that leads into the FEMA camps, which FEMA camp is Federal Emergency Management Agency. So the camps would be, you know, them locating them. And
are there bears in these camps?
Yes, always.
What about twinks?
but they're
asking for a friend.
They would be built like concentration camps. The camp sites already exist. Actually, you know, according to the research I found, they're disguised as armed forces training centers, you know, things like that. So they were already built, just not used, you know, and they're designed in a way they can hold large amounts of people. So that's kind of creepy in itself. This was actually established, the FEMA camps, in 1979 by President Jimmy Carter in response to a major disaster situation. So with that being said, you know, that leaves it open for any opportunity where they just feel the need to move them anywhere during any circumstance they deem an emergency. And you can't just say no, because now then you're going against the state, the government, you know? So another thing that was creepy about it was that allegedly there was in the last 7 years, there was $1 billion spent on disposable, AKA plastic coffins. That's kind of creepy in itself. So I don't know what you think about that. I mean, is that not creepy? Or I mean, why would they spend so much money on disposable coffins? Do they see something coming that we don't?
Aren't all coffins disposable?
Well, these are plastic because, you know, well, they're disposable because they're plastic, I guess, you know, they're.
So it's like a Red Solo coffin.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I really don't know where to go with disposable. It's just what I read.
That's the word that was hooking me up, was like, it's disposable. I'm like, all coffins are disposable. Like once you bury it, you're not going to dig it back up.
Right. I guess they're plastic because they're cheaper, easy to mass produce, you know.
Right.
Maybe somebody just had a contract and said, hey, we buy a whole bunch of plastic coffins from me. And they're like, well, government, we're corrupt. We'll give you all that money.
I actually wonder if people on the inside were like, okay, now we're going to invest a bunch in plastic.
They're like, what can we buy a million of? Insider
trading, and that's wrong.
The government doesn't ever do anything like that.
Oh, that's true.
Straight edge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I mean, that also brings you into the whole, you know, what kind of conspiracies would conspire where they would need to do that? And why are they investing in all this all of a sudden? Like, why in the last decade are they investing so much money into it? Whereas before, it was never really a big funded thing. You know, is it because they're planning something? Or are they plotting something that's just harsh? I mean, when you look at 9/11 or a lot of the other conspiracies, you know, that they think the government's involved in, and, you know, they try to, you know, look back at other governments and cultures that were tied, linked together through these secret societies that have been involved in all of these governments. It always seems like they do that to inspire war or, you know, whatnot. And it's like, if they're doing this now, what scale of chaos are they expecting to happen? You know?
Right.
Well, it seems right. Like right now, there's so much chaos going on already, you know,
right.
With so many riots about so many different things.
Right. Which would make one think that they're, you know, they're trying to, because the media feeds into it. You know, we know who owns the media. So it kind of like links into the fact that maybe they're trying to start the Black Lives Matter, blue line thing, the major divides between major groups, getting people passionate about it. So they can't stop the rioting. They can't stop the, you know, out of control. So then they invoke martial law. You know, so it seems like they've been pushing towards it a lot in the last 10 years. It's a lot of these issues. I just think that's odd, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then, since we're on the conspiracy theory, you know, subject, was it George Soros is the name, right?
That's right.
Funding Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
But then they've also found private emails of his that talking about how to federalize the police. So instead of having state police, having federal police.
Right.
And, you know, it seems like if that's something that he wants to do, why is he funding Black Lives Matter? And maybe, you know, if all this is true, then maybe he's funding it. So, you know, if something happens with that movement that becomes, you know, too violent, then it's going to be easier to convince the public, hey, look at how, you know, bad this group is.
Right.
Even though I'm the one funding it. Hey, let's look how bad this group is.
Exactly. How I control the situation's getting that I'm funding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's odd because, you know, you have this whole old theory of the New World Order, you know, and them trying to unite us under one government, which would give them ultimate control, you know, ultimate media, you know, influence, everything. And then you start looking at like where they try to unite the Americas, North America, South America, you know, and trying to get them into a trade thing, trying to get them all united in a union. You know, we've already done that with Europe, the EU, you know, I mean, it's just like, we're just breaking off into bigger groups. We're just, you know, and then linking them all together, it just seems like it's pretty likely, you know, that that's what they're trying to go for. I mean, we know these secret societies exist. I mean, that is a fact. The conspiracy lies, the question lies, is what is their agenda? Why do they exist? Why are there symbols everywhere? Is there really some weird occultist agenda? Is there a driving force that should make all these signs that we're discussing? Is it something we should look at? And as an American people, as a world people, should we, you know, should we do something about it? Should we all start to investigate it and question them and poke and prod?
How do you do something about it? Like, where do you even start?
Well, the very thing they control us with, we can use against them. I mean, we have social media. We have all these things that distract us and keep us busy. We can use it to reach out to each other and create forums, create these podcasts and just discuss them and see if it's a big deal. If it's not, maybe somebody can play devil's advocate and dismiss all this. Maybe we're just blowing this out of proportion. But the thing is that anything done in secrecy can't be right. You know what I mean? On a mass scale, I mean, when it comes to ruling a people, you know, it's like, what's the agenda? What are we supporting? What are our troops fighting for? You know, these are things that, these are major things that are in secret, not minor things, you know? I don't know. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that? Just gonna stare at me.
Yeah. I mean, it's, conspiracy theories have never been my thing. Like, I don't really have a whole lot of opinions and thoughts on them. So I'm just here to really listen and make it.
Well, like, do you think maybe that might be the problem with this country, is that no one questions their government? That doesn't make you less of a patriot. I mean, I served my country. Jay Willie served his country. We're patriots of this country. We love this country. If anybody stepped on the flag, I'd probably lose it. But the thing is even with that great sense of patriotism comes a great sense of responsibility. As an American citizen, you should feel the need to at least question the powers that be. You know, and I feel like these are great questions that are being brought up. You know, I mean, look at the creepy stuff that's been erected in our country. You know, they're tearing down religious monuments because they're on government property, yet they're erecting stuff that's occultish and religious that's also odd, you know? And I mean, look at the Baphomet statue in what state was that? I'd have to fact check me on that, look that up. That's creepy. You know, a lot of the weird occult stuff that's dark and twisted. And even if you don't believe in the mysticism of it, you still have to question, why are they building these things? I mean, look at the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, the Georgia Guidestones, that is just creepy. Some guy under the pseudonym of Robert C. Christian, which they, you know, think is Rosicrucian Order, you know, it's a fake name that they went under and built these. It's like a modern day Stonehenge, you know, in Georgia. And it's creepy because it's got like 10 commandments to live by. And I think that's creepy in itself. I mean, just how much money went into it. They made it out of blue granite. And it, like, it's really hard to destroy. It's very expensive. It's not a cheap thing.
It's something that would stand the test of a nuclear war.
Right. And its location is in a high altitude. It's like, I don't know, everything about it's just creepy.
And didn't you say somebody tried to destroy it?
Yeah, some pastor, a Christian pastor of some church or one other, drove his car into it, and it didn't destroy it. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, not necessarily, hey, these are 10 things you can live by, because there's a lot of self-help books that are like that.
Right. But, well, the first one.
The things that they say.
Yeah, the first one. And keep in mind, this is written, there's like 10 commandments, basically, to live by from the... for humanity. However, they're written in multiple languages, as if things were reset, money cultures could come across this and read this.
And didn't you say one of them was written in like a fake language or a made up language?
Like the alien language you always see in those alien movies. I forget the term for that, but that's another little weird thing. I don't know why they would throw that on there. It's odd in itself. That can lead into the alien conspiracy theories like the battle over LA and stuff, but I'll stay on track for now. The first rule is maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. What the hell?
I mean, under 500 million, we're already like, what, 14 times past that?
Yeah. Dude, it's insane. So how do they plan on maintaining that? Which brings you back to the caskets, you know, the FEMA camps, look at the mural, the paintings in the Denver International Airport. You know, that's creepy. It has the airport's dedicated by a secret society. You know, it's right there written in stone. And then you go in there and there's these pictures of what looks like, you know, it's like a military officer with a sickle / gun, you know, and it has this little corner of what appears to be innocence, a child holding a teddy bear curled up, you know, and then above it is a ledge where the people are still on the edge of whatever it is. Morning, and they look famined and they're all sick and sad, and there's a dove flying off from it. So this is just creepy stuff, you know?
So you think these guidestones are preparing for an upcoming apocalypse?
Right.
These are the rules to live by after the apocalypse.
And it could be something, maybe a war they invoke. I mean, we've talked about, you know, all these wars and the capabilities of a world war at our state of technology, the mass casualties. I mean, like, what are these people planning? If they are indeed planning anything, but if they're not, why all of these crazy, you know, anonymous things being erected, painted, built? I mean, what is the purpose of it? And why not? I mean, what's the point of it? It's not like random art. It's not like Picasso hanging up somewhere.
I was going to ask. You don't think it could be just like random coincidences of different people? Like
maybe it would, if it wasn't all very disturbing, morbid things, you know? I mean, it's so much control. It's just odd. I mean, this doesn't seem like Friedman to me. Like number two, the rule on Georgia Guidestones is guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. That sounds a lot like some Nazi stuff right there.
Yeah, like eugenics.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Guide reproduction wisely. What?
Yeah. So it's kind of taken away, you know, the UN said that we have a basic human right to reproduce whenever we want with as many children as we want.
Right.
So... that kind of seems like they want to take away that.
Yeah. Well, look at rule number three. This brings back to the One World Order, right? Which is odd because they do this in multiple languages. Unite humanity with one living new language. They have it written in so many languages, I guess, so they can convert to, I don't know. But rule passion with faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason.
Well, it seems like some of these, you know, might not be such a bad thing, like one language. There's a lot of things that, you know, we fight over because we have miscommunications just within our own language.
Right.
And so I think, you know, there could be a lot of war just because of that uneasiness of not knowing exactly what you're communicating with someone if they have a speaking different language.
Well, look at number six. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. I mean, this is something that's supposed to be not even related to the New World Order thing, you know, and yet it's all linked. It's all about eliminating the society and the way we do things now, and they're controlling it with one group. I mean, you can kind of see the hidden hand being slid across it, saying, here's how we're going to do things, and but who's going to rule it? Because all these cultures, all these ideas, you know, all these things go away, and it's just one culture, one idea, one leadership, you know, like, is it really necessary? I mean, I can see the benefits, but can't you see all the lack of freedoms and everything being stripped from you from having one source of control?
Yeah, there'd be no checks and balances.
Right. You know, it's like, yeah, there'd be less war, but you'd be a slave.
Yeah.
You know, that always kind of bothered me a little bit.
I think that's one of those things where, you know, you put in a lot of truth with it, and so people will follow it. But then you put in these other things that, you know, are easy to glass over.
Right.
That, you know, that's what the leadership would want you to gloss over. But all this other stuff sounds good, so you have so many followers.
You know, yeah. So. Yeah, you guys should check this out. It's in Elbert County, Georgia. Small little town. I mean, pretty much everybody that lives in that town works for this Blue Granite company. I mean, it's just like, it'd be the premise of a good creepy movie. You know, I don't know, it's weird. I'm sure there's a few guys that work at a gas station or something. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's not a hugely densely populated area. It's weird. A lot of people don't even know about it, you know. I didn't until recently.
So is this alien language? That's the like the fake one from the movie Aliens?
Yeah. Yeah. I forget the name of it. So, you know, this is just a free speak podcast. We don't do a lot of research. We just ramble. But yeah.
Well, it is called just plain nonsense.
Yeah. But yeah, it's really weird. It's that same one that's in all those movies. Like in a lot of the alien movies, they use that same language over and over again, which is also weird. Mm-hmm. Which brings you to the Area 51 thing. What's going on there? You know, what's up with that? I mean, there was allegedly that one scientist that his wife died. He was old and he did an interview, so he didn't have much to lose. And he was kind of explaining, confirming the whole Area 51 thing being alienly linked, you know, just weird. I mean, there's just so much stuff that's like, I don't think that you can believe anything wholeheartedly, but I think it's foolish to dismiss anything because, I mean, how much of this universe and of our life and the way our governments do things do we really truly understand? No.
You know what? I actually noticed that if you look around where Area 51 is on Google Maps, there's a lot of like blacked out sections, like a bunch of little circles that it's just blacked out. You can't see the ground in Google Maps.
I mean, I could see that. I mean, it's a secret government location, they're gonna black it out. So, but I mean, it's like, man, that's just, it's that one place. It's like, man, you know, makes you wonder if there's one place that's more secret than that. And that's just kind of a
that's the one they point everything to, and like,
yeah,
it's just like a shadow area. Yeah. That's what make everybody focus on. Yeah,
it's a diversion.
Yeah, why not?
Well, you know, another thing about that Jade Helm at the gathering is they were allegedly using the idea of Walmart in their drills. I mean, do you know anything about that? About the Walmart thing?
No,
that was weird. I don't know, but they shut down a lot of Walmarts when they started doing the, what's the words I'm looking for here?
Training exercises?
Yeah. They were just kind of, I don't know what Walmart, but they shut down a crap ton of Walmarts. All of a sudden they said it was all due to plumbing right around the same time. And
what?
It's really, because I can't really explain why they would do that, but just people were linking it together.
Well, obviously it was because of plumbing.
Duh. Right. Yeah. All those Walmarts. But I can't really explain why that would make sense either. It's just a lot of stuff on these forums and stuff and on these things I'm reading. It's just kind of weird. Some of it, that's the thing about conspiracy theories, is that some of it you can dismiss more than others. You know, some of it you'll look at it and be like, oh, why? And something like that stupid.
Right.
You know, but it's just that you have to read through all of it. So maybe you can find some answers sifting through the shit. You know, you might find that gold nugget that's like, oh, there we go. Now we're on to something. Let's look into this. That's the way of conspiracy theories.
Hey, you mentioned the Battle of L.A. earlier. What was that?
Okay, so the Battle of L.A., that's a little creepy in itself, too. You know, that's, 42, yeah. There was this giant, like, weather balloon, allegedly, that they were shooting at in L.A. I mean, it was seen by the public. It wasn't some, you know, weird story that was conjured up. They were firing heavy artillery fire with the best of their technology then in 1942 at the base. And
after an hour and a half.
An hour and a half, yeah. Hour and a half, and this thing didn't go down, and then just left. You know, and I think
now when they say it left, like how?
I think it just vanished,
like just disappeared.
Yeah, just.
And they had a bunch of lights pointed at it too, right?
Yeah, spotlights.
So it's not like it just disappeared into the dark. It's right. Like it was just gone.
Yeah, it just left. And then so the government was like, that's why they said this was one of the first government cover-ups for the alien thing. Because they were like, hey, why are you guys just saying, denying that happens? Just a weather balloon. If it was a weather balloon, why didn't it go down? And where is the weather balloon? You know, why can't you just show that to us? And
can you see the government just standing down there, like shaking their fists? You're like, you aliens, quit showing up.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's also weird because you think a superior-minded being would know better than to do that if they've been trying to cover themselves up for a while anyway.
But what if it's like a rogue alien that's like, why can we mess with these guys?
Like a rebel?
Yeah. No, like a troublemaker, like a little high school one that's like, like I'm not going to follow the rules. I want to be noticed. He's like going to mom and dad are like, you're grounded. And he's like, no, I'm going to fly my spaceship out and show these people what that were real or, you know, whatever.
Right. The other thing that they would say it's a weather balloon, you know, is that, if it's a weather balloon, they should have been able to take it down with artillery fire.
Right.
For an hour and a half.
You know, yeah. In 1942, you know, we were already at war. Well, we weren't in the war yet.
Yeah. On the cusp of war.
But why would you admit, hey, our artillery is so bad, we can't even take down a weather balloon. So, you know, it seems really strange that they would just say it's a weather balloon because it would seem like our military prowess is not very good.
Right.
You know, and so it gives a little more credence that it might be something other than a weather balloon. They could have just said it was an enemy plane or something like that.
Right.
But, is there like footage of them actually shooting at it?
I think it's pictures.
Like video?
I heard there is, but that's one of those I heard things.
Yeah.
You should check it out and look it up. I mean, this wasn't we just decided to talk about this last minute. But I mean, if you, I heard there is, there's definitely pictures. I mean, I saw those a while ago. I mean, a moment ago. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Like, then you get into the whole shadow government thing, you know, the people that really run things. I mean, a lot of people say that even on a basic level, the people that fund the campaigns really run things, you know, and then, but the elite really run things, you know, like the you get into the Illuminati and the famous families, the Rockefellers, you know, America's first billionaire. And then, you know, David Rockefeller, who just died recently at 101 years old, that dude was considered to be one of the most evilest men on the planet. Wow, I can't talk on you. I'm tired.
Evilest man of the evilest planet.
Just throw S's on everything.
When he was 99, when he had his sixth heart transplant,
yeah.
It's like, what other regular human, you know, that was poor would have a sixth heart transplant at 99?
Right.
Are you sure he was a human?
Might have been an alien.
Right.
They might have tried to shoot him down.
If you can afford it, good on you. I guess that's your way of trying to receive the fountain of youth with your money. But
yeah,
you know,
but I mean, usually there's some type of list and some type of safeguards against, you know, giving people that aren't going to live very much longer a heart from, you know, over somebody who's 18 that needs a heart.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it's self-preservation for those, you know, that feel like they're icons.
Yeah. I guess if you're a billionaire, you could buy all the hearts you want.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the going rate is on a heart.
I'll check it out on eBay. Yeah. I mean, well, then there's like the conspiracies about the rich, the wealthy, you know, the elites, the Rothschilds. That's an interesting group too. That's, you know, I don't know if that's part of one of the 13 bloodlines that rule the world kind of thing, but
a lot of people say it's the main one.
Yeah. Like Hitler was allegedly
who's they?
The infamous they.
Yeah. Hitler was like a bastard child of the Rothschilds, allegedly. You know, he's got pictures of him, you know, with what appears to be the women of the Rothschild family that, you know, that explains his hate for the Jews and blah, 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 blah. Some believe that he was part of it. And, you know, it's just all part of a ruse to get the ball rolling. But it was weird because Hitler also talked about, and I'm not an advocate for Hitler or anything like that, but I'm just saying, like, he was one of the few people that started speaking publicly about the Illuminati and the Jews and them running the banks in the world and how they had all the money. And he was resentful of the Jews. And that kind of started that thing, you know.
But wasn't he himself Jewish?
Right.
Or part Jewish?
Allegedly, yeah. He was. But there's also, this one's kind of fun. There's allegedly a rumor that Abraham Lincoln was in fact a Rothschild. That his, you know, unwritten father, his real father was actually a Rothschild. I mean, this family does date back. You know, they've run things for a long time.
I haven't heard that one. I heard he was a vampire hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard George Washington was like immortal. He survived. Did you ever read about George Washington though? dude like survived like ridiculous stuff, like especially with poor medical technology they had back then. He dude should have been dead. He survived a lot of crazy stuff.
Talking about George Washington with all that kind of crazy stuff. I had an art teacher. He loves to paint George Washington, but with like cell phones and like 3D glasses and stuff. That was just a little off topic thing. Just a little nugget of info.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like a lot of our world leaders are members of secret societies, you know, and,
they're obviously not that secret since everybody knows about them.
Their existence isn't secret, which is why, you know, they exist, which is why you should question it.
But their shenanigans,
but what secret. Their agenda is what's in the shadows. That's what we're right. trying to, you know, shine light to. When we get deeper into it, it's just really, 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 really creepy because odd it's religious.
It's hard to trust things that you don't know. Things right. You don't understand.
Yeah. Like their practices are weird and they're not in the light. They don't share it with the American people. You know, I mean, I can understand keeping certain government secrets were out of the hands of the enemies, but these are things we need to know your agenda. Cause that's what we're all fighting for. You know, what are the real reasons we're going to war? What are the real reasons we're doing this? Right. You know, why are we, you know, pacting with these people and enemies with these, you know, why is, you know, one day we're friends with bin Laden. The next day he's enemy number one. You know, it's just like, why are these things happening? All of a sudden we're just hearing about it. Now we're like, okay, now this is our enemy. We should fight these people. You know, money screams. It's like, it's where's the money going? Where's all this? Why are we funding all this crazy stuff? You know, why are we making these weird monuments and working towards bringing these governments together and all these meetings? Why are we taxpayers paying for all these crazy meetings with like the Trilateral Commission and, you know, these big secret groups within the secret groups within the secret groups that get to meet and call the shots?
Secret groupception.
I mean, it's already like we already have the world government because these leaders, world leaders are meeting, you know, a couple times a year to discuss world issues and what they're going to do. It's like they're already doing it. They haven't got us to accept it yet. It's like, what's their next move? Is that Denver?
I don't know, Mike. What is their next move?
I don't know. I'm just putting a bunch of stuff that I read.
It's probably knight to rook 4.
What?
That's chess.
Oh.
That's what Bobby Fischer would have done.
Oh.
Do you know anything about what I'm talking about?
No.
Bobby Fischer was a famous chess player.
Oh.
And you said, what's their next move? So the move would have been... That's like how you call out your moves.
Queen to R4.
Like gotcha.
Yeah, something like that.
No, I understand.
I'm not a chessician. I'm not a chess player guy.
Well, have you ever heard of Aaron Russo?
No.
Aaron Russo was a guy that he posted a lot of videos and he spoke a lot about putting stuff out in the light and talked about the Illuminati and the secret societies and all those that exist within the secret societies and their agendas and stuff and his theories and whatnot. And that dude wound up dead in his apartment. But it was because, like right now, us talking, we're not really a threat to anything. You know?
Yeah, I don't want to wind up dead in my apartment. Yeah.
But this guy, I mean, this dude he dedicated his life to it. You know what I mean? And it's weird how whenever you speak out against the government, like look at the owner of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange. All of a sudden there's women coming out saying he was a sex offender. He did all these things to him. He was, like every time somebody speaks out against the government, they'd rather die or they get discredited with something like sexual deviance of some sort or something. You know, it's weird. It's odd.
Yeah. There was all that rumors about the Clinton campaign.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah. All those people that, yeah.
Hillary.
Yeah. That was nuts.
They got up to, it was like 48 unexplained deaths or something like
suicides.
That.
Suicides. Yeah, that's weird. I mean, they're so good at covering stuff up because that's what they do. You know, they're a government. They're designed to govern the people.
Can you imagine being on that team of like that's got to come up with how to cover it up? You're like, well, what do we got that we haven't used yet?
Well, I think that's kind of why we have like at the bottom you have the Masons and stuff, and like they have that a lot of people are members of, and they learn a little few secrets about the country, and they think they know some stuff, and they think they can cover the Masonry by being like, yeah, it's all good, man. We're just here to help people, you know, and learn about history. But it's like they always have promotional levels, and they learn a little bit more. And it's like, then they get indoctrinated into new societies and new circles and stuff. And it's like, maybe that's who they pick. When they pick these people in powers, they just go through this process and they can, that way they can observe throughout years of their life, what kind of people they are, what they're Googling. We have the government types and everything. They can kind of really learn who they can trust. You know, that's.
Right. But again, like we always come back to who's they. Like, I just don't understand why somebody feels a need to have this kind of control. I just don't understand it.
Well, that's what the government's all about, is control.
Right. But like the government is a group of people.
Right.
Usually themselves ungoverned. That's a quote for my Firefly friends.
Well,
but I mean, it holds truth.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're in any type of religion or a group, special interest group of any type, you have an agenda, right? And if you're a religion, it's a religious agenda, and it won't be seem to be fair upon the others that are getting forced to receive it. So if you're in a group like that, or a cult, or, you know, some kind of sect like that, you're going to want the world to be like you because you think it will be better that way. You know, they have a special interest beyond governing.
See,
you know,
I don't think like that, though, because, like, my opinion is my opinion, or my whatever I believe to be a fact is, and I guess that's why I'm not in any kind of power.
Right, because if you were in power, you would be able to influence that.
Right, you know? But I wouldn't, because I feel like people deserve to have their own free thoughts, and, like, I don't want to impart.
And that's why in politics you get groomed.
Yeah.
You know, because so
cut your hair and shave your beard. Yeah, and stuff.
You don't speak your own speeches. You know, nothing is for the sake of quote unquote good. You know, it's just what gets votes, what gets us in power, what holds us in power, and what gets the agenda of our group.
Yeah. See, my brain does not work that way.
And if you have, religious factors in there that are like satanic or pagan or whatever, that are abnormal groups that aren't culturally accepted religions in a special country or whatever, which a lot of these interest groups are part of. You know, that's why that's why the Masons were the Masons. You know, they had to disguise themselves as stonemasons to kind of keep them from religious persecution, you know, for radical ideas and stuff. And a lot of them say it was because of science or whatever. And then they form religions based off of science and, you know, their own kind of belief systems. But I mean, those groups still exist today in a country like America, and they're still secret, and their beliefs are still secret. You know, so that's going to be their priority number one, is their belief system that we don't accept, that they can't publicly announce. And that's eerie, because then you bring up the paintings and the statues and the rules to live by and all these things that they're trying to enforce these ideas. I mean, that's apparent. How extreme will it get? How dark really is it? Or is it innocent? You know, will it mean nothing? I think, in my opinion, just based off of basic reading, you know, I think that it would affect us. You know, I think it definitely will, because they're not allowing anybody in power, it seems like. I mean, look at all the presidents, name one that's not a member of some secret society, you know, and you look at John F. Kennedy. What was one of his last speeches? He actually exposed and was talking about secret societies. Not too long after that, he was dead. And that leads into a long chain of Kennedy conspiracies. But I mean, anybody that had any ability to affect or influence, they're taken out the moment. Now, people like you or me sitting on our couch, not really a threat. We're just dismissed.
The only kind of taken out I want is to be taken out to dinner or something.
And that's exactly what they'll do if you keep it up. They're going to take you out to Golden Corral.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Well,
what about this? If, let's say, you know, they do decide,
by Golden Corral.
They do decide, you know, to tell us what they believe and what they've been doing and all that kind of stuff. Then, and we find out that it is some type of evil thing that controls the world. What exactly is a common folk like you or me supposed to do about that?
Right. Well, that's the thing, is that with our numbers, we have power if we knew how to use it. But we live in a society where they welcome us to be indulged in our video games, in our TV series. Yes. And it keeps us happy and complacent. You know, back in the American Revolution, in times like that, people were passionate. They would rather die than see their country go a certain way.
Well, that's because they didn't have a PlayStation and Xbox.
Yeah. And now, not only do we not care because we're consumed with other things, but we're already happy, so it doesn't matter. You know, we move into a new, bigger government. We don't care how the government runs. You ask half the people in the street about their political opinions, and they don't have any. It's just moral issues that the media pumps. Like, do you believe in abortion? Do you believe in this? No one actually knows what laws have actually passed and changed in this country over the last 10 years. I mean, I'm sure people know, but I mean, the majority don't.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where we're just ready to get back to what we enjoy on a day-to-day basis. You know, whether I be my Pokemon Go, you know, or be Jay Willie's Zelda, you know, it's just weird. Life is good. We're not oppressed. We don't come from tyranny. We have no reason to form groups. We have no reason to you know, develop bonds with people that could start a militia. For what?
But if we are already happy, then what's the problem?
Exactly, because we're transitioning. If we're in the transition period, this is the part where we need to be distracted. Once it, and that's why they use, like in that painting, I would think, I mean, that's why they're hinting at, or world catastrophe. At once we were transitioning, that's the part we can stop. Once it's here, now that's the ultimate distraction. Whoever will save us and be our savior, whoever will lead us, maybe it's the one world government, maybe it's whatever, you know, that theory may be, that's, by then it'll be too late. We'll just want to see people stop dying. We'll want to see, you know, we'll want to see us get our life back to the life we once enjoyed when we were passive.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's kind of like cows being led to the slaughter?
Right.
Because when, you know, when cows go into the slaughterhouse, they don't know that they're going to the slaughterhouse.
No.
You know, they're being comforted. When they get funneled, you know, it comforts them that they're getting rubbed on both sides. And then all of a sudden, wham.
Yep.
You think that's what they're doing right now? Is there?
I think that's a great analogy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right now
we're happy. We don't know what's going to happen.
You
know?
Right.
Our meat's not going to rot because we're upset right before we died.
Right. Exactly. I think a lot of the stuff that we're reading into that we decided to have this discussion on, I think we should look further into, and I think the rest of the people should look into. And if I'm wrong, sweet. But we should at least look at. I don't think conspiracy theories have a bad rap. Somebody is marked as a conspiracy. They're considered nuts. They're off the rocker. They're out of the social norm. They're thinking about things they shouldn't be thinking about. You know, I think that with the resources we have that have been sent to distract us, if that is the case, I think that we should use to strengthen us, to network out, to find a research, to find people in this genre of government or this or that. I mean, you hear stories all the time about people that have gotten out of certain groups or whatever that have exposed it. And it's in the internet, but nobody cares because it's just messed with all the other mumble jumble that's out there. You know, I think maybe if we made this a focus for 1 month in this country, if we put together a group and said this is conspiracy month, and for 1 month, everybody in this country researched and then developed a passion for it. You know what I mean? Maybe then we can actually open our eyes to it and see how they react to it. Watch the social media spike on that. Watch that spike on that. Maybe something like that could be how we can make a difference, because they would look at it and go, oh.
They're becoming smart.
Yeah, they're becoming smart. Now they're playing backfire. Maybe all this Guitar Hero and you know stuff didn't really keep them where we wanted them to be.
Why did you go Guitar Hero?
Because I don't know. I want to play it. I've been thinking about it all day.
I'm like, that's so obscure. Like, nobody's played that in like 8 years.
I have.
I was just hoping to play Dance Dance Revolution.
Well, let me break that out of the closet. Uh-huh. Dust it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you guys not agree? Or, I mean, would it not be beneficial to at least look into it as a nation?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it'd be good. Like,
maybe easier to expose the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If these are theories or if they're actual things that are happening.
Right.
The majority of the people are not necessarily misinformed, but like uninformed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And unfortunately, I'm one of them. Like, yeah. This kind of stuff, like, just, I can't bring myself to, like, really, like, I'm one of the people that you were talking about.
Right.
Well, look, right, at the federal, we're happy, so it doesn't feel like it's affecting us at all.
Yeah, we don't feel oppressed.
So you don't know whether you are or not.
Yeah. Right. And that is brilliant. I mean, we live in times where, you know, we do warfare with our minds, you know.
But it always goes back to that question. Like, I like a lot of sci-fi and fantasy stuff. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard of Supernatural.
Yeah.
There's an episode where one of the main characters gets stuck in like a dream realm, and he knows it's a dream realm, but it's perfect. Everything's perfect. I've seen
that. He doesn't want to leave.
Yeah. And you know, he's paralyzed in the real world, and you know, he's probably going to die in a couple of weeks in the real world, but in his dream, he's going to live 20, 30 years of the perfect life.
Now, is it Sam or Dean?
It's Dean.
I'm fine with it. Let's go. It's okay. Team Sam all the way.
It's true. Yeah. It's almost like the Matrix too, you know?
Yeah. And so
plugged in,
you know, he's got to make this choice of whether he's going to live this perfect life or he's going to jump out. And, you know, he jumps out and, you know, kills the Jin that was keeping him asleep and keeping him in this perfect dream. But it's really hard, like, for me to, like, why would he jump out? Like, in that situation, right. I feel like I would stay in the dream.
Ignorance right. is bliss.
Well, yeah.
Do you remember Justice League, the cartoon on Netflix? I mean, it's all more than just Netflix, but I watched it on Netflix. I'm a Netflixaholic. But anyway, there was an episode where Superman was caught in a dream, a trap that was sent to him, and it was a plant, and it attached to his body, and it paralyzed him and put him in a dream world where he thought his reality was that planet Krypton was never destroyed, and he had a wife, a kid, he was happy. But then he started to notice little details that wasn't right, and then he found out he was in a dream, and he had to make the decision, the life that was worth living, that wasn't real, or go back to reality, because that's the right thing to do. Because people needed him. There's, you know, he, the, the world needed him to make a difference, to keep it safe. You know, that I think that would be like us, you know, like we can live in the stream world where we're happy, or we can unplug and do what's right because that's a life worth living. And also because it's reality. We got to fix our reality, get rid of the delusion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have something that's a little, it's on topic, but kind of like not with the conspiracy theory thing. I heard a story about a guy that got hit by a car, and while he was laying on the ground, the, I don't know, 30 seconds or whatever, 10 minutes, whatever, however long he was unconscious, he lived a whole entire another life in that time. And he was married, he had a family, but like throughout his whole entire life, I actually just got the chills thinking about this kind of stuff. Like I like thinking about it. There was something about a lamp that was in his house that just like, he couldn't stop thinking about it. And he was 40, like he lived like to be 40. And something about this lamp that just kept bugging him, and he finally started focusing on it and like trying to figure out what it was. He became so obsessed with it that he would just sit there and stare at it. And eventually, like, I don't remember exactly how, but I guess he finally came out of it and woke up in front of the car on the ground and was like completely depressed because he had lost his wife. He had lost his kids. Like his whole entire life that he had lived in his brain was like gone. And I have so many questions about that. Like what caused that to happen? Like what happened right in his brain to cause him to live 40 years in that 30 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever. And then like, why a lamp? Why was that the one thing that kept him like,
well, that linked him to the real world or to, you know, that linked him and pulled him back.
Right. I'm just wondering, like, was that lamp like something from his childhood?
Right.
Did it just look weird?
I mean, your brain has to acknowledge something that's familiar to it. It can't be, you know, I mean, there's just something in that.
Right.
I mean, even with dreams, there's always related to something else. I mean, so yeah, I'd wonder what the significance was.
But that kind of stuff, that is the stuff that I'm like super, super interested in. Because I love thinking about the unknown and like what causes those kind of things to happen. That's very, very,
that lamp is a symbol to him for something. And it's kind of like in society with symbols. You know, there are these, oddly enough, there's these satanic symbols everywhere. And there's these cult symbols everywhere. And it's like, why? Like, why are they inserted? You know, it's weird, you know.
Do you have any examples simple stuff of what you're talking about?
Oh, God, there's a million. Like the pyramid for the Illuminati. It's on our currency. You can't buy, spend.
Oh, the all-seeing eye?
Yeah.
That's floating above it?
Yeah, I played a video game. In the background, you look up, I think it was one of the Call of Duties, you look up in the ceiling and you see the symbol of the Illuminati. It's like, that's random. You know, there's all kinds of movies and games and stuff where I'll see the symbols, or I'll see them, you know, the Masonic symbol inserted somewhere, or just some kind of satanic symbol of some sort, the Baphomet. You know, I'll see it a lot in, especially anime lately. It's weird, but you'll see a lot of
anime is weird.
Yeah. But, you know, just places where it shouldn't be, and it's not described. It's not relevant to the storyline. It's not relevant to what it's in.
It's just there.
Yeah. You know?
Now, we got a little bit off topic, but I was just kind of trying to say is, you know, it seems like right now, you know, if these conspiracy theories are true, then the American public is living in that dream world right now. And, you know, you stay happy, and I can really see how that would be a desirable, much easier life to live. Like you were saying, and Superman came out of it because that's life. You know, people are depending on him,
yeah,
you know, to see the truth. But right now it's hard without definitive evidence to say, you know, let's try and wake up from this dream and figure out exactly what's going on. Because, you know, even if these secret societies are planning something evil, you know, what can we do to stop them, for one? And are we going to sit here and toil and be upset and stressed out our entire life trying to figure out whether it's true and whether to stop them or not? Or are we going to try and be happy?
Right. That's that point of conflict. Yeah.
Well, if you end up 60 years old and, you know, the Illuminati's never shown themselves and the world's gone on just like it has, and, you know, you've wasted your whole life trying to stop something that, you know, hasn't come. You die of a heart attack because you're too stressed out.
And then there's that also the instance that, you know, if those who have kids and or soon to be grandkids one day will look back and then they're affected and you could have saved them. You know, I mean, would it be worth in the span of your life, that point of community research, or because individually you can't really do anything. You know, the power's in the numbers. And that's why the government tries to divide and conquer. I mean, that's why we have all these social issues right now. We have, you know, super liberals or conservatives, you know, and then everybody's divided as it is.
I think right there, you just answered your question from earlier, because you were talking about they created the Black Lives Matter and the Blue Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. The blue line.
Yeah.
This divide and conquer. That's, you've got to have an enemy and then to be divided around and then.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we went back to a racial war. I mean, for the first, you know, America's a young country and we're at a point where we thought we'd defeated racism. And now it just sparked up as one of the biggest issues again.
Right.
Well, I mean, people are worn out on the whole terrorist issue. I mean, we were over in Iraq and Afghanistan for so long that people are like, I don't want to hear about that anymore.
Excellent point.
And so now that that's worn out, they found a new enemy to be upset about.
Right. Excellent point.
You know, we need to be upset about these, the Black Lives Matter rioting. We need to be upset about, you know, the Mexicans jumping the border and like all this kind of stuff. When we've put it back to race instead of religion.
Right.
And I think, you know, it feels like another distraction.
Yeah, it does.
That's a very good point.
Ties in well.
It's hard to find a time in history where we haven't had some type of issue about, you know, this is what we're going to hammer in the media anytime we want to be really loud with the media.
Right.
You know, because, you know, before Iraq, it was, you know, there's too much crime like everywhere. The crime just like dropped off in the mid 90s. And so they were trying to figure out something else to talk about. And before that, it was race and Vietnam. And before that, it was race again before Vietnam, you know, and then before that, it was World War II. You know, so, I mean, you have this divide the whole time where it seems like it goes between, you know, the races going after each other or, you know, the country being united against one common enemy going to war.
You know, it's funny. So I heard a theory not too long ago and I started thinking about it. And it is kind of interesting. The pharmaceutical companies. Now, this ties into what we were just saying, because there's a theory out there that a lot of the drugs and the stuff they put in food that's not technically edible could be used to dull down the minds of the people. You know, a lot of the medications we have for mental disorders, they damage the brain, you know, and, you know, they found healthier alternatives, but the pharmaceutical companies, money screams, you know, they don't make cures. They make clients, you know, make customers. So it's one of those things where we're sitting there, you know, just taking all these ridiculous amounts of drugs. There's stuff in our food that's not even edible. Like you heard about, I won't say the brand of the cereal on here, but there was an ingredient that was found in rat poison, you know, and it's like not necessary. Why is it in there? You know, there's all kinds of stuff that's out there that's not high fructose corn syrup. Yeah, it's a cheaper way to make sure, but it's horrible for your body. You know, all this stuff in this food, it's just about greed and also just putting stuff in your body that's just not necessary. So it's like there's two motives for putting stuff in there, you know, money or damaging, you know, people, right. Maybe it can be a dual thing.
It makes me wonder, like, what could our world be like if people would just stop trying to control everybody and stop trying to like,
it'd be anarchy in the same sense. Cause you have to have control.
I'm not saying no control,
because it's like, but it's like, you have to regulate the control. You have to know the agenda of those, because you, in a way you have to have it to be a country with borders.
No, I mean, I get that. I'm just saying like, stop trying to control us through the means that you've been talking about this whole entire time. Like,
right. The darker.
Yeah. Like, what could our world be if people would just stop trying to like damage everybody and like greed?
Well,
like,
I think a lot of
it comes from money.
Yeah.
The majority. Yeah.
That's it feels like the more money you have, the more free you are.
Right. Well, as it says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's like the main problem is just everybody
understood
wants that
back
wealth.
Then and still true today.
Yeah. You
know? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evils.
Oh,
not all evil.
My apologies.
What I'm reading right here, it says Americans only make up 5% of the world's population, but we take 50% of all pharmaceutical drugs.
Dear Lord. And they're trying to convince us we need it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you hear on the radio all these, you know, ask your doctor about this, ask your doctor about that. Other countries don't have that because they have no need for it, because the doctors are like, you have this, so here's your drugs.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, if you have this symptom, one or all of these symptoms, it could go in, you know, it could present in different ways, you know, let's see, what was it? What's the technical term for bad breath? Do you guys know that one?
Halitosis.
Halitosis.
That I got that word up. Right.
That's made up. The reason that it was made up is because people were brushing their teeth, but they weren't using toothpaste. And so the toothpaste companies decided, you know what, let's make up this halitosis. That way people start taking our product, you know? And so they started having all these campaigns about, you know, maybe your breath smells bad, you know, people with halitosis don't always know they have halitosis, and, you know, do you feel awkward at work? Are people, don't talk to you?
Giving it a name makes it seem like it's a syndrome, like a...
What was it? Sleepy leg syndrome, like, or restless leg syndrome?
So
Ben Bailey did a thing on that. He's like, you got a lot more problems than some freaking wiggly legs, I'll tell you that.
And so ever since then, you know, it feels like there are other things that just seem like they're made up. You know, I can't think of too many off the top of my head, right. But there's been a lot of commercials lately where it's like, that doesn't sound real at all. You know, that sounds like you should probably drink more water and get a little more sleep. You know, and it's like, ask your doctor about this drug. If you have, you know, list off 30 symptoms, and it's like, yeah, everybody's going to say they're tired from now. And then everybody, if you get too much sleep, if you don't get enough sleep, if you're overweight, if you're underweight, and it's like, what if you're not like the perfect model of a human being, you have, you know, this disease.
But come if you take are the perfect drug. Model, you have to take this drug to stay that way.
Brings me to the next conspiracy, cancer treatment.
Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about that. Oh,
my God, dude. I got a friend that's got cancer right now, and he was in bad shape, you know. And
and that's why I don't like talking about it, is because, you know, it feels rude to those people who have either had cancer, had a family member die of cancer, because it's like, you know, I don't want to just be like, there's a cure for cancer out there, you know, but it's so much.
But why not question it? Why not give it out there to expose it if it is a real entity? Because if it is a real evil, you know, there's a plot behind it. If it's just about making money, because you look how much they make off chemo.
It's so ridiculous. It's so much more profitable to treat a disease than to cure a disease.
Now, again, going back to some comedians, that's exactly what Chris Rock said. He said, the pharmaceutical companies and all that stuff is just like a drug dealer. The first taste is free, but they get you on the comeback. They're not going to cure the disease because it's much more profitable for them to find a way for you to live with it.
Do you remember what that guy said on Shark Tank? You ever seen Shark Tank with the inventions and the?
I've seen it, but
so Shark Tank's that show where the these people that have money and they invest into invention ideas to take them off, to help the inventions take off. And there's one where a guy came on and he had a new way to pretty much eliminate the cold, like as far as like contracted the people to keep it like not eliminate, but keep it really, really under control and really keep it from, you know,
right.
Cause they say that most of the germs that you intake that get you sick from the cold virus is through your nose. So we had these things that you put on in your nose and it stops you from taking it in. Well, the Shark Tank, when the interviewers asked him, he said, well, have you preached this idea to, you know, Walgreens or whatever, or some of the farmers, you know, so they can make something out of it, you know, and they said they wouldn't accept it because they make so much money off of cold medicines and stuff like that. They didn't want to endorse an idea that would greatly, vastly slow down, you know, the spread of the cold virus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And one of the things, I remember that episode, I think one of the things that the Shark Tank, the sharks didn't like was that they weren't disposable.
Right.
Like it was like, you buy this once and then you put it in your nose,
yeah,
you know, and then you wash it with saline and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, if I was investing in saline, that'd be awesome, but I don't want a product where someone's going to buy it one time.
Right. Which is more evidence that. Set.
So, you know, he pitches the pharmaceutical companies. They said no. The sharks said no for similar reasons.
Yeah.
We want somebody to come back and keep buying it over and over and over. Right. We don't want something.
We don't
want to
help people. That's not what our money's for.
It's all about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. People with money want to keep that money. Yeah. They're going to spend it. They're going to spend it on something that's going to make it profitable. And, you know, it's not like they're some evil people where it's like, you know what, if I had money, I'd give it all away. It's like, how many people out there, when they get all this money, give it away?
Look at foundations and charities, like the March of Dimes. Look at all these cancer. B. Coleman got super rich from cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. That Pink Ribbon Foundation. Yeah.
It's like, how are you this rich? There's still need more research to be done. Oh, because there's not actually research needing to be done.
Well, they're
not using it for that.
It's only like 10% of the profits go to cancer research. The other 90% goes to her.
Right.
So
whatever the actual numbers are. Yeah. It's something like that. Oh, those are also really, really interesting conspiracy theories to dabble into, you know, things that should be questioned.
Yeah, definitely.
That without the ruling fist of many, we can't really change. These are just couch talk.
Right. Talk yeah. So just to recap, we wanted to make sure that, you know, this is all, we're trying to look at it objectively. Mike's obviously a little passionate about it. But hey, we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We want to thank our guest Josh for being here.
You're welcome.
And,
you're welcome.
Definitely make sure you check us out on the next one. We'll see you guys later.